This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a rainy Monday afternoon. I mean, it is pouring outside the Fan Run studios this afternoon. Batten down the hatches, ladies and gentlemen. We have thunderstorms for another hour or two, and hopefully they'll be clearing out later on this evening. Until then, we're with you, 6 p.m., 3 hours of quality sports-related entertainment headed your way this afternoon here on Fan Run Radio. Bear will be joining us shortly. Like to welcome a special guest co-host this afternoon. Going to be hanging out with us here in the studio. You know him well. Mr. Fabulous, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Butler is back on The Drive. What's up, Rick?
Good afternoon, my friend.
What are you working overtime
today? Nice
Monday. Your two-hour show on The Blitz earlier today, and now you're back where it all began, on The Drive. How does it feel to be back in the afternoon? Back in the big time.
Well, this is not my first time back, so it feels kind of like the last time, just a couple weeks.
It feels great.
It feels great.
About the same it did a few weeks ago?
Okay. Yeah, it does feel good to be back in the afternoon, and you obviously get a little bit more things to talk about throughout the day, so it's always nice.
What has changed since noon when you wrapped up The Blitz, where you guys spent the majority of your show talking about how I look like one of the characters from, I'm always glad to provide show fodder and content, as the kids say, for the other shows here, but I look like who now? One of the guys from, I can't even remember the show.
Ted Lasso,
yeah.
Yeah.
I love that show.
It's a great show. You look like the guy Roy Kent. But not
I
only
not
do you
look like the guy Roy
you,
Kent.
You look
he
like
looks
the guy
so much meaner than me. Do I look mean like that?
Okay, I mean, I can't argue you there, but he does look like
he looks like
you.
A mean guy.
Also, he's the old guy of the team. You know,
whoa,
so we like to,
whoa.
I didn't mean to be mean about it. I didn't say it in a mean
Invite
way.
Invite you back on The Drive here, and you come up with an old crack right off the top? Uncalled for.
It's just like old times.
Uncalled for. Hey, you're no spring chicken yourself, Rick Butler. What are you, 24 years young? I tell you what, you blink, and it'll be you. It'll be you, 40 years old, with a couple of kids, a minivan, and a mortgage, and all this, that, the other. The stresses of modern life, Rick. It comes up on you in a hurry, let me tell you. The shame, as Mark Twain once said, the shame about youth is that it's wasted on the young. Wise words as we welcome you in this afternoon. It was a big sports weekend. I never even let you answer the question. What changed since noon when you got off the air till now, 3 p.m.? You said there's a lot it's different now.
Well, I mean, even today's the perfect example of it. Juwan Mitchell, he officially commits in between our show and this show. So there's some news that gets to develop a little bit throughout the afternoon.
It's a final now. Juwan Mitchell has made it official in a move that has been speculated for a couple of weeks now. Since the spring game, really, young man made up his mind a while ago and decides to make it official today with a Twitter announcement or whatever. He's done some interviews with the local recruiting websites and says he's ready to get into the SEC. 6'1", 225, linebacker, chooses Tennessee over Miami. He tells Ryan Callahan of GoVols 247 that Tennessee, quote, recruited me the hardest, and said he didn't feel that he needed to visit the Hurricanes before making his decision. He came in for the spring game, said, I'm pretty much all in with Tennessee. Look, you got to love recruit. I'm pretty much all in. These kids just, your generation, Rick, Adam Hickman, you guys don't know the meaning of commitment. You don't know what all in means. You're not pretty much all in. You're either all in or you're not.
Did you see his quotes?
I'm reading them right now.
About how he didn't want to make a big deal, just wanted to come in and get to work.
Yeah, and then he released a Twitter video earlier today.
Well, you got to let people know.
Yeah. Well, I'm not first of all, no, you don't. You could just show up, but I'm not coming off the top rope on the kids. You want to have your moment, I guess. This is a big one. for Tennessee. He's a former JUCO transfer who started 13 games at middle linebacker in two seasons at Texas. And he comes to Tennessee where obviously we've got a big need with just the dearth of linebackers. We lost another one over the weekend, Martavius French, who was involved in the let's beat up the drug dealer in the dorm incident a couple of weeks ago. So he's gone. And in comes Juwan Mitchell. I think it's a good pickup. Rick, everybody says linebacker is the biggest hole on the roster, and certainly they're still short on depth there. But in a day and age where most teams are playing a 4-2-5, most teams are in the nickel the majority of the time, which has certainly been the case here for a number of years. If you're Tennessee and you're looking at your two linebackers, Juwan Mitchell and Jeremy Banks, I feel pretty good about that. I don't know that either of those guys are pros. I don't know that we'll be talking about them in the draft this time next year. But it wouldn't surprise me to see those guys make an NFL roster a little later on down the road. But I think you have to feel, all things considered, pretty good. I mean, I'm penciling those two in as the starters at linebacker next year for Josh Heupel's first edition of the Tennessee Volunteers.
I am with you there. And I think even if you go back to the spring game a little bit, right? We know from the spring game that the first team defense was on the field for 7 drives during the game, and they really only gave up 2 touchdowns, and they were the final 2 drives that are on the field. So to me, what that kind of told me was, yes, maybe they need a little bit of improvement, but maybe they're not as bad as we think. And I certainly think that some of the transfer players that Tennessee's bringing in, look, it's going to help that a little bit. Bringing in a guy like Juwan Mitchell, I think is big on multiple different fronts. He's a guy who, I do think you're right, he's going to come in and be able to plant himself right in the middle of the defense immediately. But I also just think it's a, what I like about it is that it shows me a little bit of a culture change, I guess. One of the things that stuck out to me about his commitment was, even going back to the spring game once more, Alvin Kamara was there. And he talked to Volquest about how that really stood out to him, how Alvin Kamara could still come back to Tennessee, be a part of this team, even though it hadn't been winning much lately. So I think this is a massive commitment for both on the field, off the field, and like you're saying, it's just going to shore up a little bit of the defense. But I feel all right.
Yeah, I mean, again, him and Banks, I feel like, is a pretty good tandem of middle linebackers for next year. You've got, of course, Roman Harrison coming back. I think he can be a solid player at this level. And then the former walk-on, Kwazi Garland, I think you and I were at that open practice, and I remember talking about, man, he looks athletic down there, and if he can put it together, he could be a guy that you depend on a little bit. Morvin Joseph worked there a lot in springtime. I think they want to slide him into that outside linebacker hybrid defensive end role that they are working with Tyler Barron and Byron Young right now. I think he provides depth there as a pure pass rusher. But, you'd like to have another player or two there for depth purposes. But for right now, I'm okay with it. I think that, quite frankly, I think there are bigger holes on this roster right now than linebacker. Maybe I'm crazy, but that's the way I see it.
Well, certainly patches up one of the holes, at least a little bit. I think that adding in Mitchell does kind of take the pressure off of the linebacker spot as one of the most talked about positions on the defensive side of the ball, and probably now shifts that conversation to the defensive line part of the part of that squad. But I still think even there, you know, you got a little bit of help from Caleb Tremblay coming over from USC. So yeah, I think that Tennessee is doing what they need to be doing here in these early stages. But really, I think kind of going back to the spring game, man, I don't know if there is as bad or as much lack of talent as maybe some of the people thought there was going to be or some people have rushed into a judgment with.
Mm. Elsewhere, from the weekend, Tennessee baseball back in the win column, taking 2 of 3 from Kentucky. All wanted the sweep, but you lose game 2, and then all of a sudden I think we were all a little bit, oh no, can't lose this series. Oof. And you get it done on Saturday. We had another grand salami for the Volunteers. Jake Rucker coming up with the bases loaded as Tennessee had a big inning and a big output. I think we scored 27 runs in the 3 games. So, I mean, hey, 9 runs a game is a pretty solid average for a weekend series in the SEC. And today, news coming down that Jordan Beck has been named SEC co-newcomer of the week. The Hazel Green, Alabama native had a huge series, tying for the team lead with a .538 batting average and 7 hits, while also totaling 3 extra base hits and 4 RBIs. As he was stellar, man, and he's a guy that, I don't say he's been in a slump, but he's kind of an all or nothing guy, right? He's either he clobbers it, he's a home run hitter, or he doesn't get many hits. And to see him just get a bunch of hits, and I think he did have a couple of home runs, but just had a bunch of hits over the weekend. I guess 7 hits total. That's huge. That's absolutely huge. And so, shout out to Jordan Beck. He gets the big individual honor. Tennessee holds on for the series win, and now they get to change their attention head to the week. And no midweek game this week is interesting. So it's at Missouri for a 3-game series starting Friday. Tony Vitello going back to his alma mater.
So you said, what, 27 weekends for Tennessee over the weekend? You even add
27 hits. Or 27 runs, I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, yeah. So you even add in the Sunday game from Texas A&M. So in Tennessee's last 4 SEC games, they've scored 47 runs.
Wow.
It's not bad.
That's pretty good. Oh, yeah. I mean, you had the 20-run game, the Sunday game against A&M. That, I guess, kind of skews the average a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, we've jumped on some teams, so that's pretty good. Missouri is the worst team in the SEC. Last time I looked at the standings, I mean, they just don't have much of a commitment to baseball up there. Some people have speculated, would that be a team that comes after Vitello? I think he's looking for that commitment. I don't think that he wants to go up there. First of all, it's cold up there when they start their season in February. So I don't know that he wants to go there. And I think, again, I just don't know that they have the commitment to it that hopefully we're about to show. They certainly don't have the commitment to it that the teams like A&M and LSU, who are the teams I'm more worried about coming after Vitello, have. So we'll see. Certainly this looks like a series Tennessee should certainly win, could very well hopefully sweep.
It's going to be a very interesting weekend coming up, but then you look at Tennessee's next 3 weekends, and those are going to be the final 3 weekends of the year. Tennessee has a little bit of a tough test ahead of them, but man, if you can really step up and just batten the hatches down, get through these 9 games with some kind of positive takeaway, this could be a big springboard into the postseason, but still got to get through those 9 games.
What's a reasonable win total for those 9 games? 3 games at Missouri, at home against Arkansas, and what's going to be a huge series at Lindsey Nelson. And then at South Carolina, which I'd imagine there's going to be massive implications there, as not only as SEC tournament seeding, a possible conference championship on the line, and NCAA tournament seeding as well.
So would you say that looking at these 3 series, obviously you want to sweep every single time, right? But would you say that this upcoming series against Missouri might be extra important to try to get a 3-game sweep in? Because, again, you're maybe going into the Arkansas weekend expecting a 1-2, although a 2-1 would be great. More than that would be fantastic. But maybe you can expect 1-2 for a hypothetical. I don't think that you want to leave that last series at South Carolina to kind of round out that, you know, that 500 win total over this last stretch.
Well, let's just I would be fine with 6 wins in the 3 games. You win all 3 series, that would be great. If you could sweep Missouri and then win one series, lose the other, anything I think 6 wins would be great. Anything above that is just gravy as far as I'm concerned. Anything less than 5 wins would be disappointing, I think. And, you know, we have the luxury of sitting here and looking at it in its totality like that. Tony Vitello, I'm sure, is taking a one game at a time approach. That's his job. But, yeah, I mean, looking ahead to the rest of the season, you have to look at that. And Tennessee tied right now with Vanderbilt for the best record in the league. And I saw yesterday their 3 series. We definitely have a slightly harder road. But we'll see, man. What a – just to be sitting here and talking about the conference regular season championship as a goal that's potentially realistic is pretty remarkable for Tennessee baseball. We had the draft wrapping up over the weekend, and my Titans with a not a sexy draft on paper. It fills needs. Of course, all drafts are to be judged years later, as recruiting classes are in college football. But that's not the big news today for the Titans.
No, it was not.
The big news for the Titans is that one of their fourth-round picks, we had two fourth-round picks. We had the receiver, Des Fitzpatrick, out of Louisville, who I really like. We traded up to get him there. And then the other fourth-round pick was an edge rusher, linebacker, Rashad Weaver from Pittsburgh. And today, we find out that Weaver has been charged by the Pittsburgh Police Department with one count of simple assault in connection to an incident that occurred on April the 18th, so a little over 2 weeks ago, at 2:28 a.m. Good things always happen at 2:28 a.m. According to the police report, officers found a woman lying on the ground surrounded by a group of people. Weaver was not on the scene when police arrived. One witness account said Weaver punched the woman. Another witness said she saw the woman fall to the ground but did not see Weaver punch her. The woman did not have any injury consistent with a punch to the head, according to the criminal complaint, which is an interesting piece of information. However, the woman apparently a week later, on April 25th, said that she had gone to the Ohio Valley Hospital on April 22nd, which would have been 4 days after the incident, because she was vomiting. The complaint said that the hospital diagnosed her with a concussion. Incident stems from an argument that Weaver and the woman got into at a bar. Weaver told officers who separated the two at the bar that the woman threw a drink on him. While they were arguing, the woman told the police that she had spilled her drink on Weaver. So now you've got a Titans draft pick who was just drafted 2 days ago, scheduled for a court hearing October 5th, right in the middle of the season. The Titans obviously couldn't have been aware of this at the time. They said in a statement, "We are made aware of this morning. We obviously take this seriously and are in the process of gathering details and working with the league." Should the Titans have known about this, Rick? Obviously, the young man did not disclose it in any conversations leading up to the draft. Should the Titans have been more diligent and found this out?
Yeah, I mean, you have to do your research, and you got to figure out this kind of stuff. And I can't sit here and act like I'm an expert in knowing, you know, how that whole process may go about, especially when it is so early in the legal process. I mean, we're talking about something that happened, 2 weeks ago that you said? So I don't know what to make of this story. It seems like it is very kind of sporadic right here off the bat. But yeah, I think that's probably an unfortunate feeling right now to be the Titans and to have to kind of walk into work on a Monday morning and hear that the guy that you just drafted is now in a little bit of a legal predicament. Can't be a good feeling.
I mean, who's doing their vetting? Is it the same guy that Dave Hart had vet Donnie Tindall when they hired him a couple of years ago? Come on, Titans, what are you doing here? I'm with you. I understand that the young man's probably scared leading up to the draft. He's not going to disclose this information. But how hard is it if you're the Titans? You have an entire scouting department, right? You just got burned by the Isaiah Wilson thing a year ago. And they've had situations like this in the past. Tyrone Calico had some sort of incident. That was a long time ago, but you see stuff like this happen pretty regularly in the NFL draft. It's not that hard, right? You have somebody in your scouting department pick up the phone and call the local authorities. You comb through it. You do a background check. You see, does this guy have any record, any criminal record, anything like that? Maybe they did that before the incident. And I mean, this happened pretty close to the draft, but I got to think that in the day or two before the draft, you have one more swoop, because there's only, you know, a dozen to 20 guys that you're really seriously considering drafting that you really want, maybe a little bit more than that, but you do have the manpower and the money that's invested in these draft picks. You better take the time to do your due diligence and go through it and find out everything you can, because you've got egg on your face. Now, there's a little bit of he said, she said going on here. We'll see what happens. You're innocent until proven guilty. And I don't know that the Titans, even if they had known, would it have prevented them from drafting it? I don't know. But it's certainly not a good look when the sting of the Isaiah Wilson debacle has not yet worn off for the organization.
When I was in college, and I was not a great student, so when I had an exam or when I had something that I was doing at home, I might finish it early, and I never went back to it once I was finished, even if it was done a week before its due date. What a good student would do in that situation is always be going back, following up on their assignment until the due date. The Titans seem to have finished off their homework assignment. They closed the book, they put their hands up, and they said, hey, well, I think we're good to go. If this guy's available, we might draft. You always have to be following up. You got to be researching this up until the day of the draft, or else you're going to wind up on the Monday morning having an arrest that you didn't know about.
Oh, man. A lot going on this afternoon here on The Drive. Coming up, we'll open up the phone lines to you, 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to get on board. Trey Smith, one of two Vols to hear his name called over the weekend. A precipitous fall for one of East Tennessee's favorites, Trey Smith, one of our favorite Vols from the past couple of years. I think everybody feels the same kind of way about him. And this is knucklehead Mike Farrell from Rivals, incurring the wrath of Vol Nation. Just why, man? Why? We will tell you what he said, the reaction to it, and the fallout as he pretty much got canceled by Vol Nation over the weekend. When we continue, it's The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. Back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Tennessee has two guys. Another embarrassing draft for the Vols. I mean, let's just... this speaks very poorly on Jeremy Pruitt, a little poorly on Butch Jones, but mostly poorly on Jeremy Pruitt. Let's be honest here, guys. I mean, really, these were two Butch Jones recruits. So, I mean, if anything, like the guys that get drafted, I guess you credit Butch. I don't know. Josh Palmer taken in the third round by the Chargers. Great place to go for him, man. And a beautiful city awesome. To be playing with a young quarterback in Herbert, who's obviously got a huge ceiling there. And then Trey Smith. Man, Mel Kiper had him projected going in round 4, and he falls all the way to round 6, taken by the Kansas City Chiefs, a great team, obviously, to go play for, and I think we all believe he'll do well there. But, Rick, obviously, the heart thing just scared a lot of teams off.
It did.
Cost him a lot of money.
I think it absolutely did, and that was a lot of what really started to come out through the draft. And again, we all speculated and we had ideas that there was likely a lot to do with the medical issue. But eventually, you really started to know that was the case, because even with a little bit of a down year, and certainly last year was a down year for Tennessee offensively and, for the offensive line in general as it regressed. But again, you didn't imagine that anything on the field would have caused Trey Smith to continue to fall that far. So you knew it was very medical related, but like you said, you go to the Chiefs, and I don't know, maybe the best spot that I can think of just off the top of my head for somebody like that to go to. You're going to one of the best coaches in the league, one of the best organizations in the league. You got one of the best quarterbacks to protect in the league. You got a team who does need offensive line help later.
Is Khalil McKenzie still playing with them, or did I feel like he got?
Oh,
is
wow.
He with the Bengals? Maybe.
That is,
but that, how cool would that be?
That's
if like both guards were Vols.
So Khalil McKenzie currently...
I think he's with the Bengals now.
He's with the Bengals.
Yeah. So he's moved on. Imagine if Butch had played him on offensive line 4 years. He'd probably be a starter by now. But yeah,
still blows my mind.
You hate to see it, Trey Smith fall. But if he can prove that he can stay healthy, I think we all believe he's going to be a good player there. And you get that second contract, he can make a lot of money. So
yeah,
I'm sure he'll be making decent money with his first contract as well. 865-546-8200, 546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Before we get to these phones, Mike Farrell, Rivals.com, incurring the wrath of Vol Nation. Hell hath no fury like Vol Nation scorned. And Mike Farrell found this out the hard way. Here's his tweet on Saturday in the waning moments of the NFL draft. I'll be waiting for the gift baskets and apologies from the Trey Smith should have been a five-star crowd or for the excuses, one or the other. I mean, imagine the insecurity one must feel to have to take to go for the I told you so when a young man who, let's be honest, everybody knows his story, right? Mike Farrell knows why he fell in the draft. He didn't fall because he's non-productive. He fell because he's got a glaring medical asterisk next to him. And I get it why everybody would be a little bit, you don't want to take a chance
sure.
on a heart condition in an offensive lineman. I think we all get that if we're being honest with ourselves. But what kind of clown is going for the vindication of 4 years later, this is why we didn't have him a five-star? It's disingenuous, and it's just a crummy thing to say, right? I mean, why? Why?
Yeah, on multiple levels. I mean, again, like you said, it was wrong. Like, we saw Trey Smith be great, and we know what he is capable of doing. But then on the other side of things, what really kind of set things off for people is, again, expecting the self-righteous praise because of that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's one thing to not just say, you know...
What do you think the response to that tweet is going to be?
Yeah. Like, it's one thing to just be like, you know, it looks like maybe I was right about what I had said a couple years ago. But really, to add in, I will be waiting the gift baskets and apologies on my throne.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Mike Farrell?
You can crawl up to my feet as you apologize and beg for my forgiveness. No.
All right.
Get out of here.
So the backlash was pretty swift and pretty severe, and especially over on the Rivals message board, VolQuest locally, Tennessee fans are very upset about this. A lot of people expressed that to him. The next day, yesterday, he comes out and says and he has the poop emoji, a poop tweet, an unprofessional moment, a regret. An apology has been sent to Trey Smith, and this is an apology to Vols Nation for my moronic and petty take yesterday. I am sorry. It is embarrassing for me. Zero excuses on the poop emoji take. Also, an apology to @BrentHubs for the drama. All right, so this is where it gets tricky, okay? The easy thing to do is, oh, screw you, take your apology and shove it. I think that on this show anyway, I don't know what your position on this is, Rick, and we're going to get Barron here in just a minute and get to these phone lines as well. But on this show, like, we have railed against cancel culture. I think a lot of people have a problem with that. This is kind of the litmus test, right?
Ah.
Somebody comes with what appears on its surface to be a sincere apology. I suppose if you're cynical, you could say, well, he's probably told to do that by his higher-ups. And I don't know. Maybe that's true, too. I feel like we should accept the apology and move on. Doesn't mean you forget what happened. It was still a crummy thing to say, crummy thing to do. But for me, Rick, I accept the apology. I'm moving on.
The world keeps spinning. We keep going about our job. He's going to keep going about his job. So I am with you. I think that that's what you need to do. And look, this was a pretty hefty apology, I think. You know, like, a lot of times you might just get I'm sorry for my comments yesterday. You know, I maybe shouldn't have said them, right? But he really went through this whole apology. So I think you're right. And essentially, again, we're going to keep doing our stuff. They're going to keep doing, you know, he's going to keep doing his. Everyone's going to keep doing the same. The world keeps turning. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's I can't believe that he left it up for as long as he did. He eventually deleted the tweet. He made the apology. So I think that most people are moving on. I realize there will be a vocal segment of Vol fan base that will never forgive. They'll say, hey, take your apology and shove it. That's our guy. But I'm moving on.
Screenshots live forever, though.
Screenshots do live forever. I've got it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Apparently, like, this guy has a history of weird online behavior. There's some screenshots of him sliding into, shall we say, a much younger girl's DMs.
Oh, I saw these.
On Twitter. Mm. And making some bizarre requests. Like, I don't know if it was flirtatious. It wasn't overtly flirtatious. He did ask for her picture with a spoon.
Yeah, the spoon thing. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal.
What? I mean, is that a kink that I'm not aware of? Or some guys get off on chicks with spoons?
No, I don't think that's it. From what I believe, the spoon is, I would ask you to send a picture of you holding up a spoon so I could know it's you. So you're not getting catfished, right? You're not getting, it's essentially a proof of identity. And you're I guess, asking them to hold up some random object, right? So I can't just send a picture that, you know, maybe is in my camera roll or I took something. I believe that's what it is. If it is a kink, I'm wrong.
I'm sorry. I don't have the pervert's mind. I don't think like that. So that makes it's kind of disturbing that you do. But I did not
I just
get that.
Told you. I had to do the research.
That's your generation again, Rick. That's your generation.
Weird. That might be the Rick Butler go to.
What?
If you're sliding into a girl's DMs, Rick, and you want her to send a picture, what are you asking for? A picture with a fork?
Certainly not a knife.
Yeah, I'd tell her to go out to her garage and grab a weed eater or something. Just something bizarre.
Because it's got to be something that not everybody has handy, right? You go, anybody could have done that.
But you also need something that somebody might have handy, or else what if you just ask for something really obscure?
Yeah.
Hey, send me a picture with a car battery. What?
Send me a picture with a hedge trimmer.
The weed eater. You're like, I don't have a weed eater. I live in an apartment.
If she likes you, she'll drive to Lowe's and she'll hold one and take a picture with it.
That's commitment.
All right, let's bring in Bear, and we've got Philly on hold as well as they're piling up. Bear joining us via the G3 Help Me Hotline this afternoon. What's up, man?
I hate his gut. I hope he can stick his apology where the sun don't shine. He's a creep, and the poop emoji apology was to me almost more insulting than the original tweet.
Okay, so here I had a feeling you might feel that way, Bear.
Straight to hell.
I knew you would feel that way. Here's my thing, and I think you know this is true. You cannot, on one hand, decry the cancel culture, as you and I both have. I know you feel this way. And then on the other hand, when somebody says, you know what, I was wrong, I apologize, my mistake.
The guy's an immature moron. I mean, he's a complete clown. I don't want him canceled. He's more than welcome to keep doing what he does. And people are stupid enough to, I mean, I thought the guy was a buffoon before. The tweet just got, you know, I don't have a whole lot of respect for all the, just all the recruiting services. Like, hey, what a self-important, you know, puffed up. I don't want him canceled.
Okay.
He can do his thing.
Well, how about this?
I want him to know, Bear, in Knoxville, hate his guts.
He took a cheap shot at a kid
on one of the worst nights of his life. I guarantee you care if we were standing in front of him. That gives this guy some whatnot.
Would you have
took a shot at a kid on that night?
Would you have more respect if he just didn't apologize, left the tweet up there, said, "I said it. This is how I feel. I'm sorry you feel badly about it." But
no, I think there's something like this dude's got some. He's got some issues. It's obvious when you add in the other stuff with that, you know, with the spoon or whatever the hell Rick was talking about.
Send me a picture with a spoon, honey.
Bear, can you send us a picture with a spoon?
I hope your curves are just as smooth as the curvature of a spoon.
It's just so weird, man. And it just, why do that? Why? It was so cringy. Like, here's the guy who's, you know, one of the kids is doing it right through no fault of his own, just cosmic bad luck, has a medical condition that probably cost him what? I mean, let's be honest. Trey Smith doesn't have these problems. He probably comes out last year and is a potential top 10 draft pick.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a dunk attempt on a kid who has fought through horrible medical conditions to still be out on the field getting his name called in the draft when people told him he might not ever play football again. And it was a dunk attempt.
I mean, it's not like he's some of these other guys where, you know, you're already seeing one of them with the Titans. Some potentially ugly stuff popping up. This is a really good kid. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'd be saying it if he was played for anybody else besides Alabama and Georgia.
Okay, just he's a really good kid. Devil's advocate here. Mike Ferrell was not arguing that point. I mean, we all know he's a good kid. His thing was, Vol Nation gave me grief for not ranking him a five-star coming out of high school. And
it was well-deserved.
His ranking, his draft status here would seem to prove that ranking right. I think the logic is faulty because of the heart issue, but he wasn't arguing against the kid's character.
Yeah, but that factors into it because you've attacked this kid now. And this kid is a special kid, especially, you know.
did he attack him? Did he attack the kid, or he's attacking the fans' reaction to his ranking?
Yeah, but he brought, you know, I mean, Trey Smith is up there, man, as far as he'll go down, even though he played through a horrendous time. He's just one of those guys that'll come through Tennessee that'll always be really, really special to the fan base. Because he was one of us.
He's in there with Juwan Jennings, with the dog. He's in there with
Dobbs.
I don't know. Is Dobbs in there?
I don't know. Dobbs is kind of complicated simply because of, you know, the way his
he's not in there for
went.
But you
he's
okay, that's fair. I think you have a whole generation of Tennessee fans who Dobbs is really the only substantial quarterback they've ever seen.
I get that, yeah. Well, and for me, though, I'm talking about, first of all, I think in-state has a lot to do with it. Juwan Jennings, Trey Smith, Tennessee guys.
Sure. Yeah, the group I'd put him in, Russell, is that Dale Jones.
Yes.
And we can name five or six.
Spencer Riley, Chad Clifton.
Yep.
Eric Westmoreland.
Mm-hmm.
Al Wilson.
Floyd Miley.
And I know we're just going through the hits of guys who were great when we were great, but even Travis Stevens. Travis Stevens is a great one, right? Because he was not a guy that was a five-star by any, and didn't even get a whiff in the NFL, as I recall. But
all heart.
Blood and all guts. Heart. Played bigger than his stature. Let's kick that around for a second. That might be a Rickard Ridge barbecue smoking hot question. We could come up with like an all Vol State, like in-state blood and guts team.
Oh, good name for it.
That'd be good. Phil, hang right there. We got to take a quick break. Sorry for the filibuster. We'll get right to these phones when we continue. 865-546-8200. Your phone call is coming up. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Let's get these phone calls rolling here. 865-546-8200. Rick Butler helping us out this afternoon. Bear will join us again. He's in transit. Hopefully going to be with us here in just a minute. Let's get Phil in here. Phil, you're on The Drive, Fan Run Radio.
What are you saying, W?
Philly.
How are you and the Fabulous One doing?
Fabulous.
Not too bad.
Yeah, that's his nickname, Fabulous Rick Butler.
Love it when Mr. Fabulous is in here, adding a little energy, a little youthful exuberance to the show, Phil. It's never a bad thing.
No, he has to come back to his roots, doesn't he?
It is fun to be back in the afternoon.
I'm just making a permanent thing, you know?
Oh, wow. Phillies try to play program director here.
What would I do in the mornings? I would sleep for way too long each morning.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
It would be bad for my day.
Well, I mean, y'all are going to other shows anyway, so what does it matter? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I heard Chuck on the preceding shows, and you've been on Russell's show but 4 or 5 times since you left. You know, you're coming home by Motley Crue, you know what?
Yeah, I like it. I've created a show, and now we're all expanding into the other shows here. It's pretty fun.
Oh, that's Trey Smith. I mean, good Lord. If we were good, we wouldn't be hearing about this. It's just a product of Tennessee being horrible.
Well, here's the sad thing about it, Phil, is we only had 2 guys drafted.
Yeah.
And it's been like this for years now to the point where it's not even that big a shock anymore because, yeah, guess what? Bad teams don't have a lot of players go to the NFL because they're bad teams. They don't have NFL players. And I'm reminded of that scene, not that scene, but a passage from Monty Burke's biography on Saban a couple of years ago where Mal Moore is picking him up from Miami and they're flying off to Alabama. He's made the coup and he's hired Nick Saban. And Saban says to him, "Do you think you've hired the best coach in college football?" And Mal Moore is like, "We better have." And he said, "Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm nothing without my players." And look this week, what, they have 6 guys in the first round or something? I mean, just it's players, man. You got to have players. It's not rocket surgery.
And in the last 3 years, Tennessee's had 4 in the NFL, and that's tied to Vanderbilt for last in the SEC.
Oh, no.
Oh. Doesn't that just make you want
to
puke
in
your soup?
And then UCF had 5 drafted this year, so there is hope that Apple can recruit good enough to get players into the NFL and maybe jumpstart this thing. But
recruit and develop.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
what they're going to have to do.
That's key too, right? Because some people say that maybe Scott Frost signed some of those guys. I'm not familiar with how that recruiting went, but the 5 guys on their team last year that got drafted, that's a lot better than we did.
Yeah, and we can't cheat anymore since we've decided just to open up everything, let the NCAA whoop on in here while Will Wade and Bruce Pearl continue to coach. Nick Saban continues to do what he does. Kirby's done. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Phil, it is what it is. We're going to be taking a big spoonful of unpleasant-tasting medicine, whether we want it or not, and we don't have much control over what the NCAA does or doesn't do to LSU and Alabama and everybody else. So my opinion is we just got to get through it as best we can, as quickly as we can, and hopefully learn some valuable lessons so that, you know, this NCAA situation doesn't happen again and this past 12 years of futility doesn't happen again.
Is John Calipari going through his last days at Kentucky right now?
Boy, that's interesting. You see what happened there? They had their point guard of the future decommitted, and I don't think they have a point guard on the roster. Is it the guy, was it Askew? He left.
Yeah, he's at Texas.
Yeah, he went to Texas with Chris Beard. And they ran him off thinking, oh, we could do better. And then the 5-star that they had coming in said, no, I'm going to go somewhere else. And now they don't have a point guard.
Yeah. And then Will Wade got a point guard they wanted out of Illinois. Smith.
Davion Mintz for Kentucky also declared for the draft today, so he's gone.
They don't have any guards, Phil.
Wow. Yeah.
I hate it for him, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad Valtello won 2 out of 3. I was kind of getting a little worried there for a minute. But 2 out of 3. If they can beat Missouri 2 out of 3 or sweep them, that'd be great because the next 2 series are going to be very challenging, especially the Arkansas series.
Wasn't that a Meatloaf song, Phil? 2 out of 3 ain't bad?
Yeah, it was Meatloaf, wasn't it? That's kind of like, that's Dan Mullen of Florida, isn't it, Meatloaf? it's good. You can go 10-2 and can't beat Alabama. That's pretty cool, you know what?
I'd like to go 10-2 with the lost. It actually sounds pretty good, Phil.
Guys, hang in there. Good to see you, Fabulous.
Thank
good
you,
to hear
Philly.
From you.
So we are working on, during the break, I think this is a pretty cool idea that we stumbled upon this afternoon, an all Tennessee blood and guts team. Now, these are all pretty good players. We're trying to fill out a roster of in-state players that played for the Vols. That, because there's something about the Trey Smiths, the Juwan Jennings of the world. We've had better offensive linemen than Trey Smith. And we've certainly had better wide receivers than Juwan Jennings. But I think that we love those players more because they're in-state kids, they're Tennessee guys, and it meant something to them to wear the orange and white. And they truly gave their all for Tennessee. So we're putting together this roster, and I think that this is fun, man. I've almost got my entire offensive line set.
I was going to say, are you going by a list or are you fielding a team here?
I'm fielding a team.
Heck yeah.
I'm putting together a team, man. I've almost got my starting 11 on offense. And I'm having maybe a little too much fun with this for a rainy Monday afternoon. It is still pouring sheets, raining buckets, cats and dogs, whatever you want to call it. Outside the Fan Run Studios this afternoon, we hope you're staying dry. We hope you're staying safe this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to join us, 865-546-8200. We're going open lines Monday. Bear and I spoke earlier this morning. We were like, should we get this guy on? Should we get that guy on? And we just weren't feeling it, man. It was just like, we like all these people, but some days you just got to come in and open it up and see what happens. And so far, with a minute to go in hour number one, I got to say, I feel pretty good about the work we've done here. Now, I don't know. We got 2 hours to go. We're only a third of the way home. The rest of the show might, suck. But hopefully not. Hopefully not. Rick has added some energy and enthusiasm to the festivities. Hickman's had a couple of decent drop-ins. Bears' phone call was probably a little bit unnecessary, if we're being honest. But it was good to hear from him. We'll hear from him again later. And Phil had a good call. So I feel like hour number one has I'm pleased. I'm pleased with the way it's gone. Good start to the week, Rick.
I would say so. We're going to bring a spoon into the final couple hours as well.
All right, coming up, hour number two of the show. We'll hit the reset button for you with Hickman, the top four at four. Plus, the transfer portal is open. We talk about in-state players, a familiar name to Tennessee fans. If you follow Tennessee football recruiting, a familiar name, a much maligned name, a controversial name is in the transfer portal. Should we or shouldn't we pursue? We'll talk about that when we continue. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. It's Fan Run Radio.